We are beginning a series of lectures leading up to Krishna Janmashtami. So many esteemed speakers this week will be speaking on the appearance of Lord Krishna and culminating in the actual appearance day, which is on Saturday, and Bhakti Chiruswami will be speaking on that. We also have Atmanivedi Maharaj, Bhakti Vikash Maharaj, and Malati Mataji, all of them speaking on these topics. Today we are just looking at the 10th canto, of course, and Prabhupada, he gives a lot of purports on this, and he's given commentaries for the first 14 chapters of the 10th canto. And there is a book by Bhanu Swami as well, if you look at that. That's the commentary on the 10th canto, Sartha Darshani, which is from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. That's also there as well. And Prabhupada has used many, many commentaries from the Acharyas, but specifically Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And today we'll just look at chapter 1, and we're just going to recite text 2 here. Translation. O best of Munis, you have also described the descendants of Yadu, who were very pious and strictly adherent to religious principles. Now, if you will, kindly describe the wonderful, glorious activities of Lord Vishnu or Krishna, who appeared in that Yadu dynasty with Baladev, his planetary expansion. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Brahma Samhita 5.1 explained that Krishna is the origin of Vishnu Tattva. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. Yasyaika nishvita kalam athavalambya jivanti loma vilaja jagarandanatha vishnur mahansa iha yasya kala visheshu govinda madhipurusham tamaham bhajami. The Brahmas, the heads of the innumerable universes, live only for a duration of one breath of Mahavishnu. I worship Govinda, the original Lord, of whom Mahavishnu is but a portion of a planetary portion. Brahma Samhita 5.48. Govinda Krishna is the is the original personality of Godhead, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Even Lord Mahavishnu, who by his breathing creates many millions upon millions of universes, is Lord Krishna's Kala Vishesh, or planetary portion of a planetary portion. Mahavishnu is a planetary expansion of Sankarshan, who is a planetary expansion of Narayan. Narayan is a planetary expansion of the Chaturvyuha, and the Chaturvyuha are planetary expansions of Baladev, the first manifestation of Krishna. Therefore, when Krishna appeared with Baladev, all the Vishnu Tattvas appeared with him. Maharaj Parikshit requested Sukadev Goswami to describe Krishna and his glorious activities. Another meaning may be derived from this verse as follows. As Sukadev Goswami was the greatest Muni, he could describe Krishna only partially, amshena. For no one can describe Krishna fully. It is said that Anantadev, with thousands of heads, but although he tries to describe Krishna with thousands of tongues, his descriptions are still incomplete. Om jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha nama om vishnupadaya krishna prasthaya bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvasesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So seeking the blessings of all the Vaishnavas here, especially the disciples of Srila Prabhupada and senior devotees, that I can elaborate a little bit on this pastime of Krishna's appearance. We are celebrating, in one sense, the 50th Janmashtami. The 50th Janmashtami we're celebrating. The first Janmashtami was celebrated 50 years ago on board the Jaladuta. Just at this time, and Prabhupada records the first Janmashtami where he says, observed without ceremony. And 50 years later, we are celebrating with thousands of ceremonies and thousands of people. And he records there was only the captain, his wife, and some of the crew who came to hear him speak. And he distributed some apples, he cut them up and he distributed that as some prasadam. So that was the first Janmashtami. So in comparison, we are celebrating with a week-long festival here. And for many of our volunteers, it's a month-long festival. So from those few individuals that were there on the Jaladuta, who were very fortunate to be at the first Janmashtami festival, Prabhupada would be very happy that so many individuals are coming here, well over 50, 60,000 people over the 2 days. And this year we have Janmashtami and Vyasa Puja on the same weekend, in the sense that Janmashtami is celebrated on the actual day, and then the following Sunday. Janmashtami falls on the Saturday and Vyasa Puja is on the Sunday. So we have great festivities for Vyasa Puja as well. And you'll see the notice up there that as soon as we finish Janmashtami, coming up to 3 o'clock in the morning, we can come for Mangalati at 4 o'clock. And Prabhupada, he leads the Mangalati, as you all know. It's quite an experience if you've been up all night. It is like being on the Jaladuta when you're standing in Mangalati. You know, you don't know whether you collapse or not. There is a letter that Prabhupada says the temple president must be there for Mangalarti, for at least for Vyasa Puja. So I think all of you are temple presidents, actually. And we have a great program in the morning for Vyasa Puja after we have Prabhupada's class in here, audiovisual class, and we'll move to the big marquee as we did last year as well. And we have a nice arrangement there for Vyasa Puja all the way until midday, when we'll have Abhishek of the Prabhupada deity that we have now. And then, of course, we have the feast as well. And we've put up a nice marquee on the drying field. You might have noticed an extra marquee. And that's where the feast for Vyasa Puja will be served. It's the same feast being served everywhere, in the volunteers area, to the guests, to all the residents and others. So Prabhupada's feast is for everyone. So everyone will have the same feast. So we're cooking for a good 5,000 people just for that few hours. So a big feast to be cooked for a lot of people there. You'll get the same feast everywhere. So this weekend is like that. So we'll take the opportunity at this stage as well to thank all the devotees, especially the residents, the ashram, who are the pillars of putting the Janmashtami together and pulling it apart, all hours that they do. And lots of preaching initiatives there for the Janmashtami. Looking at these verses and what we have, I remember when I first came to this country, and the religious education was all based on the Bible, of course. And they would speak about the birth of Christ. And then I was hearing the story of the birth, because I hadn't heard it fully. In other countries, you don't hear so much of it. So then I was listening to that story as it was being narrated. And I was thinking, wait a minute, I've heard all of this before. Three wise men coming to offer gifts. I've definitely heard this somewhere. And then there was a bright star on top of a manger. I said, I've heard this as well somewhere. And it was all from, I'd heard it all from the appearance of Krishna. Very similar. Who's borrowing from whom? Maybe a question. But similar stories are there where Christ is appearing in a manger, Krishna is appearing in the Goshala with the cows. The three wise men come to offer frankincense, mirth, and the demigods, they appear with the same things. These are the items mentioned in the Krishna book. They appear with the same items. And just above the manger is a bright star. So in Krishna book, of course, the constellation is called Rohini Nakshatra. And the brightest star is right above where Krishna is appearing in the Nakshatra. And then, of course, it carries on with King Herod persecuting, killing all the children. And Kamsa is doing the same. Although in the Bible, I think it's only in Matthew that account is given. Am I right, Mishma? Only one of the three Gospels. The other three don't mention it. Anyone? If I remember rightly, they were saying that only one of them mentions it. The other three, so whether it happened or not happened, they're not sure, but one of them only has it. So same in the Krishna book, Kamsa's realizing it could be anyone. Let's see. The child could have gone anywhere. So very great similarities which are there within the Krishna book here. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he has elaborated nicely as well in his book as well, in his commentary, and Bhanu Swami gives it very nicely. The Bhagavatam is considered very, very sweet, the entire Bhagavatam, like a cake. But the 10th canto is considered like the face of Krishna. The first canto begins with the feet. So any part of the Bhagavatam is sweet. The cake is sweet, wherever it is. But the face of Krishna, the 10th canto, is even sweeter. Even sweeter and more relishable. And Prabhupada, what he's done, he's taken the purports of the previous acharyas and he's given it to us in the form of baby food. So it's easily digested. Easily digested, the 10th canto. Because if he elaborated it any further, it wouldn't be digestible. So any part of the 10th canto is considered very, very sweet. And specifically here, the chapters which are here, if we look at them, the first one here is the advent of Lord Krishna. The second chapter is entitled The Prayers by the Demigods in the Womb. And the third one is the birth of Krishna. And the fourth one is entitled The Atrocities by Kamsa. So if we look at it from the advent to the atrocities of Krishna, really these four chapters, they summarize the story of our life as well. They really are the story of our lives as well, equally. That because of problems, somehow we become connected to Krishna consciousness. Because of problems. We start chanting Hare Krishna, we seek relief. But really, we shouldn't be muktikamis. We shouldn't be thinking that we'll have a life which is free from misery. Whatever formula we may follow, misery will always remain. Misery will always remain. As we say that suffering is inevitable, but misery is inevitable. Pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. Suffering is optional. So pain is going to come, but whether you suffer or not, that is your option. So whether you're one day in Krishna consciousness or 60 years in Krishna consciousness, it's still the same. Suffering is going to come. So pain is going to arrive, but it's our option whether we take to it or not. The main thing is that becoming free from problem is all about increased remembrance of Krishna. And that's what Krishna consciousness is all about, that when the difficulties do come, can we increase in our remembrance of Lord Krishna? The Gita speaks about four types of people that come to Krishna consciousness. Anyone remember that? Chatur, yeah? Artha Jignashu, Artha Arthi Jnani. So Artha means distressed. Jignashu, those are inquisitive. Artha Arthi, somebody who wants something from Krishna. As Sutapur always speaks in his lecture that everyone's here on a Saturday because it's the lottery. And they're praying that, God, I know I'm a sinner, but make me a winner. Artha Arthi. And Jnani. Jnani, those that are actually seeking the absolute truth. But really, if we really look at the people that come to Krishna consciousness, and you know, there's a variety of reason. Instead of Artha Jignashu, Artha Arthi and Jnani, really it's Artha, Artha, Artha and Artha. Distressed, more distressed, even more distressed and most distressed. That's the type, that's who really come to Krishna consciousness at the end of the day. Everything else, it gives you hope in the material world until the distress comes. Then you think, actually, maybe there's, I've got to look into this and see what's going on. Here, Parikshit Maharaj, he's asking several questions. And the verses that follow here are interesting. The first question that Parikshit Maharaj is asking is inquiring here, because the whole thing is, the whole Bhagavatam is about Parikshit, and he has to leave this world, so the time is getting closer, so he's coming up to the 10th canto. So his questions that are asked are that he's requesting Sukadeva Goswami to speak about Krishna now. Why? And the next verse after this is interesting. The next four verses, they give us an indication why he wanted him to speak about Krishna. And the first verse here, Avatirya Yadurvamsi Bhagavan Bhutabhavana Krittavan Yani Vishvatma Tanino Vadi Vishtarat. That he wants him to speak about Krishna. Why? Because Krishna is the object of Parikshit Maharaj's love. First reason why he said you speak about Krishna. And this verse here is speaking that the super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the cause of all cosmic manifestations, appeared in the dynasty of Yadu. Please tell me elaborately about his glorious activities and character from the beginning to the end of his life. So the first reason is that he's saying that Krishna is the object of my love. And that's why, please, you speak about him. All living entities in this creation, they're somehow looking for love. They're looking in the wrong place. As the introduction of Krishna book appropriately reminds us, when George Harrison says, all you need is love. We're all looking for love, but we're looking in the wrong places. We either looking to give our love to someone, or we want to be loved by someone. But we're looking for love. So all living entities, therefore the soul has an eternal relationship with Krishna. And Maharaj Parikshit, he is saying to Sukadeva Goswami, speak about the glories of Krishna, so that I can hear about the supreme object of my love. Secondly, in the next verse, he speaks about second reason why he wants him to speak about Krishna. And it's the famous verse. Anyone remember that one after that? Text 4. I can only remember it because I have it in front of me. But Yes, thank you, Vishwamaya. Nivritatar upagiyamanan. Bhavat Ashodi Chotra Mano Biryat. Ye Uttama Shloke. So this Bhava Ashodi, which means that secondly Krishna Katha is the supreme medicine. That's why he wants him to speak about Krishna, because this hearing of Krishna, it's the supreme medicine. And he mentions that Krishna Katha, he compares Sukadev Goswami to a physician, a doctor. And he says that you're a great doctor, Sukadev Goswami, and you come with the most powerful medicine of Krishna Katha. And we can all relate to that. Prabhupada gives the famous analogy of how when we're diseased, we have the disease of jaundice, the medicine often is very bitter. And he gives the example of sugar candy. If you take sugar candy, it tastes very bitter, but in due course it'll become very sweet. So Krishna Katha is being relayed here to the supreme medicine. Now often people will say, how is, and here this verse is saying that this is the ultimate in welfare work, ultimate principle of hearing Krishna Katha. So how is it that this is ultimate? How is Krishna consciousness helping society? On the streets, when you're there distributing new books, people will always ask you, well, how is this welfare active? Why aren't you feeding people? Why aren't you getting a job? And this verse is telling us, because they may say, all you do is you sit down, you dance, you chant, you have feast, and you say you're providing the highest welfare activity. What kind of activity is this? Jai Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda. So, how do we prove that Krishna consciousness is providing the highest welfare activity? In this verse, it's speaking about that it has three effects. That firstly, it quenches the sensual thirst. It quenches the sensual thirst. That's a very important aspect. That the senses are being controlled in this manner. Secondly, it cures the disease of the ego. And thirdly, it satisfies the agitations of the mind. So our cure, which is being mentioned here by Sukadeva Goswami, is on the level of the senses, the mind and the ego. So Krishna Katha has this curative effects. And you know, medicines are generally bitter. But some medicines are relishable. Anyone know relishable medicines? Calpol. Children have Calpol, but it's very sweet, so they have more of it. Ayurvedic medicines often are, because they're mixed with honey. They're actually very bitter, but they're mixed with honey. So you tend to eat more of that than other medicines. So here equally, Sukadev Goswami is speaking about the principle of this Krishna Katha. The more you take, the better you become. That it allows you to cure in that way. Third thing, in the third verse, why Parikshit is saying you should speak, and that is, third and fourth, he's saying that Krishna is my protector. Why I want you to speak about Krishna is that because Krishna is my protector. And the great elaborate purport is here of the Timingala fish as well. Text 5 to 7 you'll see. Maharaj Parikshit has been protected in a variety of ways. Firstly, Krishna, he protected his forefathers. If you remember, Arjuna and the four Pandavas on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, they were under attack, and it was practically impossible for them to survive. And the verse mentions that there were individuals that were like Timingala fish. Bhishma was like Timingala. How do you defeat him? Impossible to defeat the Timingala fish. But you are our protector. And he goes on to say that you also protected my mother, Uttara. You protected her as well from the attack of Ashwatthama's Brahmastra. So in this way, Parikshit Maharaj's grandparents, Parikshit Maharaj's mother, and then of course, Parikshit Maharaj himself. He was protected from the Brahmastra. So he's saying that you are my protector. Isn't it that Krishna became the size of a thumb and carrying his shank, gada, and he revived Parikshit, who was being destroyed by the Brahmastra. So Parikshit Maharaj, he feels that someone has done so much for me, so now how much eager I should be to hear about him. He was my protector. And then finally, the fourth reason, which is in the same verse here, he says that Krishna is the bestower of the final goals of all living entities. In this verse, he's speaking on that. And in the purport, Prabhupada is speaking of that as well. In text 7 there. And within the purport that it's described that Maharaj Parikshit, he's glorifying Krishna as someone who can give ultimate destination and give benedictions to all categories of living entities. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Banu Maharaj, he speaks of this, that four types of living entities he describes. Those that are envious of Krishna, Krishna appears as death. Those who are near and dear to Krishna, Vasudeva and Devaki as well, perhaps others, there's so many others, he gives eternal life. Those who are devotees, he gives eternal bliss. And those who are demons, who want to kill Krishna, Krishna appears in the form of time personified and he practically destroys them. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he elaborates on these four types of persons in this verse here. So Krishna, in front of these demons, is just like, Krishna is giving the remedy, the rock candy, to the demons, but they find it very bitter. So Kamsa and all the demons, they always find that Krishna is very bitter throughout their whole lives. And Krishna finally, he kills them and they become liberated. And going on from there, a little further up, I was looking from text 14. Text 14 is interesting as well. Where Krishna, it's here we are. Text 14. And Sukadev Goswami now, so Parikshit Maharaj has said why he wants to hear about Krishna and he gives four reasons. So Sukadev Goswami, in speaking, in his reply, he does three things. Anyone remember? With those three verses? He thanks the questioner, he glorifies him, and then he glorifies the question. Three things that he does in speaking. So in thanking the questioner, he says that, O son of Bhrigu, O most respectful devotee, the son of Vyas, heard the pious questions of Maharaj Parikshit. He thanked the king with great respect. So he first begins, he thanks him. But you've come, you've asked this amazing question. And then in the next verse, he glorifies the questioner, where he says to him that, O your majesty, best of saintly king, because you are greatly attracted to topics of Vasudev, it is certainly your intelligence is firmly fixed in understanding what's the real purpose of humanity. And then finally, he glorifies the question. And he says in this regard that the Ganges which emanate from the toes of Lord Vishnu purify the three worlds. And the last bit of the verse is interesting. He says, the speaker or preacher, he who inquires, and the people in general, they become benefited. They become benefited. The speaker, the listener, and the inquirers, they all become benefited by this. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he speaks on this, and he says something interesting. He says that Krishna Katha occurs in, the benefit of Krishna Katha occurs in descending order. He says the speaker gets the maximum benefit. The person who asks the question, he gets the second amount of benefit. And those who are hearing get the third level of benefit. So I'm not saying I'm getting the benefit here. But what this means is, and what he's trying to say, and what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, and Prabhupada explains, is that one should preach. Because you get the maximum benefit. One should preach. So regardless of what we're doing, we should speak about Krishna to others. And you know, often when we ask devotees to go and preach, they'll say, well, I haven't finished studying Prabhu. And hence many years ago, Raghunath Prabhu started all these classes upstairs in the Gita. 80s? I can't remember. Very, very successful series of classes. Because devotees were saying, we don't know the Gita, so we started these classes on the Gita, but there's still no one will preach because they'll say, we haven't read the Bhagavatam fully yet. And then thirdly, they'll say, well, actually, we haven't yet studied the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We should study all of these things. But Prabhupada, in this verse, is reminding it that the maximum benefit is for the person who speaks. So you should go and speak. And the secret is, whatever you study, you speak. You don't have to wait till the end of your life. Whatever you study, whatever you hear, you should speak. You know, presently the markets are fluctuating right now because of China. There's going to be a collapse. They're fearing a collapse, whether it's 1 year or 10 years. This, when China disintegrates, there'll be more collapse. The West was depending on China and other places, but the markets are fluctuating tremendously. But you know, one market that never fluctuates is the preaching market. There's always a shortage. There's always a shortage in the preaching market. And practically everyone is in ignorance. And can you imagine if you were around in Satyayuga? Because everyone was enlightened, you couldn't preach to anyone. So Kali Yuga has this benefit that you can preach to anyone. You can preach to anyone in any time, in any space. You can have a word with them about Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya, in one verse, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he's being described as a lion. I think in Chaitanya Charitamrita as well, like a lion. And Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, he speaks about this, that, you know, a lion generally likes to stay in the darkest cave. Darkest, deepest cave. Why? Because he'll not fear that predators will come and attack him. So he tries to find the deepest cave. Maximum security is there. So Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, he says that our hearts are like that cave, hollow and deep and dark. We've spent all our lives in sense gratification, and they're filled with miseries, filled with anathas, the anathas of elephants, he calls it. Therefore, if Lord Chaitanya is like a lion, and our heart is like a cave, we are made for each other. We're made for each other because our heart is like that cave, deep, dark, anathas, and Chaitanya is like the. We're made for each other. We're made for. So that's interesting that he says that my consciousness is infested with various kinds of jungle animals, Vishwanath Chakravarti's Thakur is saying, and the anathas are like huge elephants. And you know what lions like to do? They like to fight elephants. They like to fight elephants. And you know, the thing is that difference between human beings and lions is what? You know, if an elephant walked in, hopefully not. You know, our logic of our mind would calculate, okay, I'm 50 kgs, well, maybe 60 kgs. That looks like, you know, 1,000 kgs. I don't think I stand a chance. So the logic is, let me jump out the window. But lions have a different mentality. And even the cubs of the lion, it's inbred within them. Their mentality is, the cub is thinking, I'm only 5 kgs, and there's 1,000 kgs there, and he thinks, attack. Attack. I must attack. It's inbred within this ability to fight, the spirit to fight. So what am I on about this analogy? Therefore, we don't have the spirit to fight often. We lose that spirit to fight. And hence we stand no chance against the elephant-like anathas that we have, because we lose the spirit to fight. But if Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the form of a lion, is roaring the Hare Krishna Mahamantra within our hearts, then these elephant-like anathas, they'll be destroyed. They'll be destroyed. So Sukadev Goswami here, he is glorifying the questions. He's glorifying the question here, and he's now finally speaking on this principle here. So I thought those were just some interesting aspects here at the beginning of the Krishna book, which exist. And then I sort of was just browsing through the kirtans here this morning upstairs, looking at the book, and Vasudev, in the Krishna book, he is described as Mahabhaga. It's an interesting term, Mahabhaga, which means a great soul. What did he do to become that great soul? It's described, and it's quite amazing in reading what Prabhupada says, that that not only did he pacify Kamsa, but he forgave Kamsa. This is the definition of a great soul. A great soul is able to pacify the most cruel-hearted man, and supposedly he's not able to pacify him, and the cruel person, he performs atrocious acts. Still, that Mahabhaga has the power to forgive him also. That's the definition of Mahabhaga. I thought, wow, that's amazing. That someone will do so much wrong, but you still have the power to forgive him. That's Mahabhaga. And then, in the purports, Prabhupada describes very nicely that Vasudev, in seeing that his wife is about to be killed, he's thinking, what shall I do? And Prabhupada describes that he uses four things. And just to end on these four things. He says, first of all, he uses what's known as diplomacy. Vasudev uses diplomacy. And he uses two things, Sama and Beda. Sama means he pacifies him. He says, you're such a wonderful, amazing person. You're the king. Why are you worried? And then he uses Beda, which means he sows some doubt of fear within him. But if you kill her, do you realize what will happen to you? Your reputation. What will happen to you? But then he realizes that this diplomacy is not working. And then he uses what's known as logic. Nya. And he says to Kamsa that, my dear Kamsa, that you're afraid of death, but death comes to everyone. That's the logic. You can't avoid death. Ultimately, it's going to come to you. Why are you worried about the eighth child? Logic. Then he realizes that logic didn't work. So then he uses philosophy. uses philosophy on him. And he explains to him the law of karma, that you'll accrue karma for this heinous act, and tells him. And then he gives several examples. Anyone remember? Karma. Not that I would, I just looked at the purports. And he gives the analogy of a person walking on the street. That as you're walking, your one foot steps and then the other one takes and Kamsa didn't quite get that one. So then he gives the example of the caterpillar, of how he is going from one leaf to the other. So transmigration. He's speaking about transmigration. And he realizes that the law of karma, he's trying to convince him, but that didn't work. So then finally, he goes back to diplomacy again. And he says that Devaki is just like your daughter. She's a helpless lady. Why do you want to do this? Devaki, she represents our devotional service. And Vasudev is us. And Vasudev, he tried everything in his means to protect his devotional service. And Vasudev didn't give up. This analogy is given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So all our attempts to protect our bhakti from demoniac influences from within and from without may sometimes fail. And that may be a cause of insecurity and fear within our minds. And we may want to give up, but Vasudev, he didn't give up. He didn't give up. If our devotion is being threatened in one way or the other. And finally, just in concluding here, that there are five important principles in developing a positive attitude for a devotee. Because imagine that if Kamsa has come with the sword to cut off our devotion, and we may be thinking, can't bother anymore, I've been here too long. So it's very similar. So it's interesting that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he elaborates on these, and he says five different ways that we can convince from within. And he says the first one is called being determined. Can you imagine Vasudev at the first point, he said, well, it's already ordained, he's going to kill her, I'm not very strong, I'm not going to do anymore. So he says, firstly, you have to become very determined. Very determined. Despite the failures that you may have had in your devotional life, become determined. And secondly, he says, the second principle is that although you're determined, you often will become morose in protecting your own devotional life. So he says you have to be decisive. You have to be decisive. You have to think, wait a minute, I just can't hang on, I've got to do something. My head is about to be chopped. I can't hang around. And I've tried everything and everything has failed. Then he says the third thing you can think about is destiny. Our moroseness, our disappointment comes when we think we're the doers. I'm in control because I'm in control. When there is failure, I think I failed. And therefore, people are generally paranoid of failure, whether it's spiritual or material, because we think we're in control. So here, destiny is an interesting principle, whereby we think, okay, Prabhupada has said that we will be successful. So we will be successful. And finally, fourth, diligence. Krishna, if he wants to protect us, he can do anything. Rakhi Krishna Moreke, More Krishna Rakhi. Krishna can protect us. But often Prabhupada said, don't stick to destiny. He said, hard work is needed. Hard work. Srila Prabhupada demonstrates so many times that you just can't leave things to Krishna. Krishna will take care. Equally, you have to be diligent. I think he was asked once that if a brick falls from the Empire State Building on my head, Prabhupada, is that destiny? And Prabhupada, he said, no, because you didn't look up. He says different things in different places. So here he said you didn't look up. So diligence, you have to work hard. And finally, the last is, again, diplomacy. What do I mean by diplomacy here? That Vasudev, although he was experiencing great distress, he still had a smiling face. Bhakti Tirtha Swami speaks about this, that he calls it acting enthusiastically. Fake it till you make it, I think often he said. Which means acting enthusiastically. You have to be enthusiastic, even though things are not good, at least smile. Because if we're preaching to others, or if we're staying here and everyone thinks we are very morose, then they'll think the whole thing is lost. We've lost the plot. So we have many more days or many more classes that will come for us leading up to Krishna Janamashtami. And as the Vaishnava Acharyas, they speak on this, that Krishna's, one of his names is Makhan Chor, which means the person who stole butter. And why does he steal butter? They say because butter has two qualities. It has the quality of being soft. So if we want Krishna to appear as he will appear on Saturday, but if we want him to appear within our hearts, the Acharyas, they say, first of all, you have to make your heart like that, soft. And the second quality that butter has is pure. To make them, make our hearts pure. And equally, he doesn't just like makkhan, he likes misri, which means sweets or the candy, and they comment on that, that equally our hearts shouldn't become soft and pure, but our speech should become sweet. Equally with Vaishnavas. It's not the purport that's given by them. Shri Krishna Janamashtami Mahamotsava ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Premanande, Hare Krishna.